Well, welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan, in the new, early, refreshing, civilized hours. Engineering today is Krista Flores, and producing is Ben Anderson. It's a full show, and it begins with one of Chicago's great talents, my friend Matt Owens. Matt, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks very much.
You're too self-effacing. You hate it when I do things like that. If you go to the Chicago, if you still buy a newspaper and you go to the Chicago Tribune today, you will see a lovely story. I think it's
lovely. Effulgent.
Huh? Absolutely. Did you see it in the paper?
I did, yeah. That,
doesn't it always, you know, we're of the same kind of vintage. Don't you think it always looks better in a newspaper? And it's a newspaper story. It is the story of Matt's stunning presentation of Lockdown Puppet Theater, which takes place every Saturday at 4 o'clock in the Lakeview neighborhood. We are being sort of secret about the precise location, but people hear about it through word of mouth. I've been there the last 3 weeks. Yesterday was jammed. I wasn't going to say jammed. It didn't block the street. Was that
no, big? But it was a crowd. Yeah, it was a crowd.
And what, Matt, you came here from Wyoming, low. You know who was funny to see in the crowd? A lot of people from the performance arts scene here. You know, people like Sally Timms, a musician, and Martin Billheimer, and a lot of other people. The word is spreading. But let's go back to why you started this. You had been laid off from your job at Brookfield Zoo, and we'll talk about Brookfield Zoo, and you're sort of sitting around your house, and you're a very creative guy, and you start to think, well, maybe I should put on a circus for my neighbors. It started slowly with one puppet, correct?
Yes, that's right. I just did one. I thought I haven't actually quite left the zoo yet, but I was in furlough.
The writing was on the wall. Yeah.
And I had some free time to myself, so I made one puppet, thinking I would just do it once and amuse people. But fairly quickly, I realized that it was both good for them and it was a great therapy for me.
Yeah,
because I was needing something to really concentrate on through the week.
Well, one of the things was you put a puppet in a tree outside the building in which you and your lovely wife Carla have lived for almost 40 years, and put a light on it. And people, God love them, people were attracted to that and were asking, what is that? You made more. And then a couple weeks later, you put on a full show. And one of the things I loved about it, it has this, you know, this air of, you know, spontaneity, but it's a really, really well-orchestrated, dramatic piece. You put on an entire circus on your balcony, didn't you?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, thanks for saying it that way. I still feel like it's in development because I'm constantly adding new characters and I'm constantly shuffling them around. I'm up to in excess of 40 puppets that I've made since April. And because people are straining their necks to look up, I don't want to make the show last any longer than half an hour. No, so that means that each puppet is not on every single time. So
it's
a revolving cast.
Tell me I'm wrong, but I think I saw a new puppet yesterday, a hippo, which was
three, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And
the cassowary was new. The hippo was new, and the John Falstaff figure was also new. So.
What was, I know part of it, but what was the, and Ben Anderson's going to provide a link to the story so you can read about it too, but what was the initial, did you do it, Matt, with any sort of trepidation the first show? Because I know that your wonderful wife Carla would be out there, but did you think, wow, I wonder if anybody else is going to come?
You know, it's never been my experience that people don't stop and look at things when something's happening on the street and something's interesting. And if it's not particularly, I'm doing my level best not to make this a confrontational thing that,
it's not at all.
Yeah. But there's always a chance that that could be. I could have made those choices. Some of my work in the past has been entirely different than this.
Indeed. So, a number of people in the crowd yesterday were commenting on that, said, my God, Matt's done a family-friendly show. And I said, yes, he has. He goes, well, he wasn't really known for that. I go, he wasn't.
I wasn't, no.
But you sort of gauged.
I have done unspeakable things on stage. That's true.
But you also gauged, you've been in that neighborhood for a long time. You and I have walked in that neighborhood, and half the people there would say hello, and you say hello to their dogs, and you know the names of their dogs. And it's
long before I know the names of the people.
Yeah, right now. Well, dogs. Exactly. Are nicer. Dogs are nicer. But so you sort of, in any urban environment, there are people who would be offended by anything new. I mean, that's one of the problems with urban living, is that there is fearfulness of the new. And as in a sense, that fearfulness breeds outrage. But I got to tell you, I've gotten to know a number of the regulars, so to speak, and to a human being, they are bringing their friends. They're being delighted, and I wonder, Matt Owens, if you even get a sense of that, because you are upstairs behind a curtain, basically invisible during the show, and by the time you come downstairs to cool off, many of the people are gone. But what do you hear? What do you hear from some of the people? I think it's been, for many, an incredible relief during these weird times.
Right. I hope that's the case. That was the real purpose of doing it publicly. I have been stopped on the street and had people who I don't know thank me for the puppet show, which I think is probably the best thing that could happen to me.
Yeah,
seen it, they've liked it, and they get to express that. That's really wonderful.
And it also,
because I love doing stuff for the people I know and I love. That's easy, but any performer will tell you that really the litmus of your piece is performing from somebody who knows nothing about you, doesn't know what they're expecting, and is hopefully pleasantly surprised when they see it.
Well, in the age range, we'll talk about your youngest fan, because I have become a friend of his over the weeks. But the age range is all over the place. There are kids, there are people driving by down the street who will stop and stare out the window. It is it is people who are retired. It is people from the performance community. I would gauge yesterday's crowd at somewhere around 50 people. Does that sound about
something
right?
Like that? Yeah, I think that was about right. And I can never make an accurate count.
Of course you can. You can't see down.
I can't so well.
And generally, Carla, your wife, is the only one with a chair, because there are not chairs. There is no admission.
I know.
There is no admission price, which is another.
But yesterday, some people prepared themselves and they actually showed up with their own chairs, which I thought
good.
Was hilarious.
Good.
Yeah, this is turning into a Pritzker concert.
if only that was still alive. I got to tell you something. If Lois Weisberg were still alive and the Commissioner of Cultural Affairs, we'd massage this into something on the Pritzker stage. I'm talking to Matt Owens, who is the creative genius behind the Lockdown Puppet Theater, which takes place every Saturday at 4 o'clock in the Lakeview neighborhood. I'm going to try to figure out. We can't tell you where it is, because if we do, then it's free. And if we tell you where it is, there would be people clogging the streets and the police might come and shut it down. We'll be back.
It's always been the concern.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame you. Well,
I think we're doing something illegal. It's just that we want to make sure that everybody.
Well, and to my mind, the other concern is wicked neighbors who just don't like something new. That's a problem, too. We'll be back in, hang on, Matt, we'll be back in 2 minutes to talk a little bit more about your history and a little bit more about the show. It is called Lockdown Puppet Theater, and it is probably second only in this country to Hamilton. We'll be right back. Welcome back to After Hours. I'm on the phone with Matt Owens, who has been in this town a creative force on the visual art and performance art and theater scene for 4 decades. And he has reached, and I mean this in all sincerity, Matt, he has reached a pinnacle of some sorts with his own production. I'm serious. You're laughing. Of the Lockdown Puppet Theater. Ben Anderson will link to my story that's in today's Tribune about it, if Matt and I are not verbose enough in the next 10 minutes. It is It is a circus, but you made a it's done as a sort of traveling circus, and there's a ringmaster, there's a magician, there is Giggles the clown, who tells some of the most jokes,
agonizing jokes that you
have ever heard, and a juggler and trapeze artists and a hippo and an organ grinder with his monkey. I have the feeling, Matt, because it's such an active performer, those two are performers, that must be, for many people, the highlight of the show, the organ grinder and that incredibly active monkey.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. People have told me a wide variety of the things they like best, and sometimes it surprises me. Sometimes they like I didn't necessarily expect that.
Go ahead. Singing.
Usually, when I'm starting out in the beginning of the week, when I'm starting to make another puppet, I don't usually think in terms necessarily of how it's going to play. I think in terms of something I haven't made yet that I'd like to try.
Well, and another certifiable star of the show, which was referred to by one of your neighbors, Jen O'Brien. She said, when I asked her about the show, she said, "Rick, where else are you going to see a toad singing, yodeling about sushi?" The yodeling toad is drop dead amazing.
The yodeling toad works very, very well. And in fact, the first time I did the yodeling toad, he wasn't even finished. He didn't have back legs.
He is just something.
The paint basically was still fresh on him. But that was a case. That was exemplary of how some of these develop. I love to just sample a wide variety of musics on YouTube mostly. And you know how it goes. It's like wandering around in an old library. You find yourself going in a direction you didn't necessarily expect to
go. Exactly. So, or it's like wandering around.
I discovered this Japanese yodeler from, I think, the 60s or the 70s. And I was immediately intrigued by him, and I thought, well, we'll make the toad do that then.
Well, what gives you, and I delve into your creative process in 10 minutes, but when you hear a song like that, when you heard the Japanese yodel song, what made you think, and what's a creative process that gives life to a yodeling toad as opposed to a yodeling duck?
Well, I think I was already working on the toad.
Oh, okay. And you said this.
And then and I was listening to music while I was doing it, and the two things sort of coalesced.
That's fantastic. I honest to God, I would love one day to just sit in your apartment with the huge dead horse in there and watch your creative process. You bring to it, I mean, you've had a very, very active life on the theater scene here, and this is not just a thrown together show. There's a real narrative to it, and this one included a character, Falstaff, reading some Shakespeare. I thought
that's because I'm a diehard Shakespearean fan, and you know, one of my ultimate goals would be to get some kind of a role over here in the Shakespeare Theater if it ever opens again. I think it's the largest theater in Chicago for the number of people that it hires and all that. But I particularly adore Shakespeare, and I think it's my way of trying to share it with other people. I know a lot of people immediately shut down when they're confronted with Shakespeare, but I've done it a couple of times. Yeah. I have a little puppet from a previous performance that has also iterated some Shakespeare, and I'm going to continue to do it because
I think you should. I think you should. I thought your Falstaff character, your Falstaff puppet, was also very artistically intriguing to me. Really something.
Yeah.
How long you told me whether it's visual art or puppet art, making puppets. Mm-hmm. You work fast, don't you?
I do. That's one of the blessings I have of my work. I know a lot of artists spend a great deal of time working on one thing, and I wouldn't fault them for that at all. Sure. One has to do whatever one has to do. But I'm kind of lucky in that I'm really, really comfortable with materials, even if they're materials I haven't used an awful lot in the past.
Well, there's a challenge. I mean, there's a creative challenge to that, too. I mean, I think, I don't know if you're going to make the hippo bigger than the hippo was yesterday.
Yeah. I want to be able to open its mouth. Its mouth doesn't open yet, so I've got to do that.
You and your wife, Carly, came here in 1981, drawn from the wilds of Wyoming.
Right. Chicago. Actually, Carla got her degree in Bloomington, Indiana, for library science, and her first job out of school was at the University of Chicago in the business school.
Yeah.
So we moved up here. Initially, we were. It was a pretty substantial amount of culture shock for us because we're from Wyoming, which has 600,000 people in the entire state.
Right.
And so for us to come, and I think that when I moved to Chicago, there were more people living in Cabrini Green than there were in my hometown.
I would imagine that's true. Yeah. But it's been a wonderfully nurturing environment for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just Chicago's particularly good about that.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago doesn't... Chicago, the performance world in Chicago doesn't really judge anything other than how you perform. It's not really relevant where you come from because the assumption is almost everybody comes from someplace else.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of native workers, but...
The other thing here, too, I've always thought that is the art scene here gives performers, whether a visual artist or a theater performer or a... Mm-hmm. It gives people the chance to fail. To risk and to fail without it ruining. You do that in New York, and you wind up at an advertising agency. You do that someplace.
Yeah, right.
You do
right.
that in Hollywood, and you wind up at a gas station.
And there's a reason for that, because the investment to be able to pull off something in New York City or in Los Angeles is massive.
Yeah.
Because you're surrounded by a huge number of creative people, and there's bound to be people who are better connected, more talented, mm-hmm. have greater experience, and they're gonna get the work.
Yeah.
There are the occasional blue man group types
who
work their way up from literally working on the street, and that's wonderful, but it's rare.
It's very
rare. It's almost as if the real estate is just too precious in those places, and the risk is too great for the producers.
Well, I think,
and of course, Chicago is kind of famous for lots of people just producing their own work too.
Oh yeah, sure, you know? Sure.
We've relied on open-minded spaces to let us do our work, but we more or less pay for it all ourselves. So,
how long do you anticipate? I know that there are a lot of variables, and I think that anybody living in these times has a hard time saying what they're going to do tomorrow. But you plan to keep, I mean, you're going to have a show this coming Saturday, yes?
Yeah, I think it's the 4th of July. So
oh,
it might be
wow,
a,
right. That'll be
it
something.
It might be a holiday themed party.
Something special. I got to mention our little mutual friend, Sebron, is a little two years and 4 months, and he lives next door.
Right.
And
right.
He was an avid lockdown puppet theater goer until you varied. You didn't do the circus one. You did a murder mystery, and it scared him so much.
It was still the circus, but it was a murder mystery in the circus.
And it scared him 1 week, and he had to go watch from his second floor apartment.
Right.
And then he comes
down. Which
is
nice. That means he still has to see it. He just didn't want to be in the presence of
He's still hooked.
Yeah, what happened was that the character who was the murderer at the end of the performance threw himself off the balcony. It was that freaked out my little friend. So I'm trying real hard to earn him back.
Yeah, he was. Well, one of the great things last week when he was sitting on his father's shoulders, you can see a picture of him in the Tribune.
I did see it.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's such a great picture. But what he said and really got me, you came down, you're all sweaty from having done this show. And he looks up at you, and you said something like, "Matt, you said Sebron, did you like the show?" And all he said was, "Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Matt." That one of the most charming scenes I can remember seeing.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
In these
who would have guessed? You know, years ago when I was pulling things naked across stage with my butt. I would never would have expected that the evaluation from a 2-year-old would matter for at all.
You have told
it does matter. That matters a lot.
Hey, it mattered to me too. Yeah. Read the story, and if you know, wander the neighborhood, wander the Lakeview neighborhood next Saturday, and see what you can discover. Because that, I think, would be literally the ideal way to come upon the lockdown puppet theater. Matt, it is an ongoing treat to know you, and I'll see you Saturday because I'm.
Oh, excellent.
I'm an addict. I'm hooked.
If you're not setting off fireworks.
No, thank God. No. Because, you know why? Because everybody else in the world is setting off fireworks.
Apparently, there aren't going to be any fireworks left.
That's right. Good.
The business is booming.
Love to Carla, and I'll see you next Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Take care. He's really something in this. You'll be charmed by the picture and the story that... the great producer Ben Anderson will link on our site, and we will be back with a singer in a few minutes.